Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and welcome back to another episode here. We had a little two-week hiatus due to little Giovanni being born. So let's jump into a little bit of a life update and go into the topic of shoes that people are buying for right now for the spring season. I think it's really important to always be on top of what buyers are specifically looking for. So we're going to dive into some comfy shoes that people are looking for and just do a good old-fashioned chit-chat here. So we will see you at the table. Welcome back, everyone. It's nice to be back. I'm glad to be back. We are going to be uploading episodes every other week for the podcasting realm. If you're in the Patreon group, then you will be getting an episode weekly. And if it's not an episode, then it'll be some type of bonus content, whether it's new things that are happening in the reselling space or articles or things that we've compiled along the way. Last week, for example, there was a full life update on the Patreon, as well as a Word document that is workable for everyone to kind of go in and add input towards different trends that are being seen over the last month. And that's kind of the idea of how the Patreon's going to go for the next few months while I transition myself back into the real world. So for all my friends who are not in the Patreon group, let's chat a little bit about life. So my son was born on March 24th at 3:02 a.m. His name is Giovanni Carmelo. Carmelo was my dad's name, so that is his middle name. And we kind of went back and forth with the name Giovanni. We had a top two or three, but we basically solidified it. I'd say by month six or seven, we had it solidified that it was going to be Giovanni and kept it a secret from everyone. So that happened. It was a very traumatic labor and delivery, but we are both okay. Definitely did not go as planned. My water did break on its own. I'm not going to go into crazy detail on it, but those that are in the Patreon group, they get the full story. But basically, my water broke on its own, but nothing was happening. We had to be induced, which was going to happen anyway, because I was diagnosed with gestational diabetes and I'm over 35. And those two things alone, even though my gestational diabetes was diet controlled and I never really spiked, I started to spike towards the end because of what was happening with my placenta. But other than that, everything was very controlled. Regardless, doesn't matter. They induce you. So I was due to be induced on the 26th, but my water ended up breaking at 4:15 on the 22nd. And we were in the hospital until the 26th. So everyone is good. Baby Gio is on the smaller side due to some growth restriction on my end while I was pregnant with him. This is something that we knew towards the end. He had lost a lot of weight when we left the hospital, so we have been working very hard on getting him to gain weight and get back to birth weight. And then for me, I had some stuff happen to me during the delivery process. I'm okay. It's just going to take me some time to heal internally. but other than that, I am fine. We are both doing well. We are adjusting and finding a rhythm with everything. I am very thankful for our family, you know, for my husband. We have worked really hard on creating a system for ourselves and taking shifts in the middle of the night, you know, doing 2 or 3 hours each and kind of going from there. And that's been very helpful. The first week was obviously tough. there were a lot of factors, you know, with me not being well and everything, but being home was definitely helpful and trying to build that routine. As of this week, poor little man has a really bad diaper rash that has developed and we are nursing that. And he's just been very, very clingy, very fussy, feel awful every time that he, you know, uses, you know, whether he has a bowel movement or or urinates, it just burns. And I mean, we're slathering all the types of diaper rash creams on there and bathing him every time. And it, you know, poor little guy can't help it. So we are just, we're working on that this week. Tomorrow is actually his newborn photo shoot. So we're super excited about that. It's kind of wild that he's been here for 2 weeks, and it just feels like he's been here for a month because all the days just blend together. But that's that. That is life. But when it comes, excuse me, oh, I apologize for the yawning. Not much sleep happens, obviously, with the newborn. So when it comes to reselling, I obviously have done absolutely nothing, which is fine because I'm still making sales. I was making sales while I was in the hospital. I have made sales over the last week, which has been great. I am still meeting the amount that I need to make, which is wonderful without doing any work. So I'm happy about that, but I really need to now, over the next, I'd say the next month, I'm going to give myself some time, but we'll say by May, I'm going to take the time to really sit down, analyze things, and make a decision on what direction I want to go in and all of that. But for right now, you know, like I said, giving myself some grace and just doing the bare minimum until I feel ready to, really. You know, I don't feel pressured to kick things back into high gear or anything. I'm still working through inventory to get rid of things. I have a bunch of inventory in my car that I have to figure out what I'm going to do with. Probably just going to end up setting it to ThredUp because Plato's only took a small amount of it, and I'm not getting to Boston anytime soon to try consignment stores there. So I'm okay with just getting rid of it and setting it to ThredUp and calling it a loss, basically. So that's that. I also think I'm going to be keeping my inventory at that 400, 500 mark. I hit the 500 that I wanted to by the time baby was born, so I was very happy about that. But I think I might want to decrease again just a little bit more to 400 and really, really specify what it is I want to sell and really refine that even more. I don't see myself going to the thrift stores anytime soon for reselling. And it's not because of baby. I was already on this path to begin with. I just don't find joy in it right now. And it's really difficult to even find things to sell. So online sourcing is definitely going to be the main focus and just kind of figuring out where I want to source and what that looks like. I do have some people who are local to me that are willing to give me some inventory, which is nice. So we're just going to kind of play it by ear and make some decisions as the weeks go on. And I will update you guys on what that's going to look like. I'm not going to stop reselling. That's not happening. I'm not going to stop the podcast or anything like that. Things are just going to shift a little bit for a few months, and then we'll be back to regularly scheduled programming once, you know, baby's a little bit older and just is in a different stage of life. You know, newborn is obviously harder than, I mean, well, they're all difficult. All the stages are difficult, but newborn requires more out of me, you know, especially with his weight issue. We are, you know, we have a very strict feeding schedule with him. We're supplementing, we're doing the breast milk. We may have to add medication to the mix. So there's a lot of components. There's a lot going on there. And that's my main focus, obviously, to make sure that he is growing and healthy and he is thriving and doing well. So when I have a more substantial update as to what I will be doing with reselling, I will obviously share it with you guys and kind of break down what that's going to look like. And it might be helpful for you to hear that and just kind of see what my thought process is, because you may be in the same boat as me, or maybe you're going to be in the same boat as me, or you just want to hear what someone else is doing in their business. So that is the life update. Let's just dive into the content today. Before I do that, though, I should mention one thing, and it's these episodes that are going to be every other week will be on the shorter side because my time is limited right now. I don't like to leave Gio for too long because he requires so much of my attention, and I just, that mom guilt kicks in because he only wants me at very particular times, especially feedings. And he's feeding every hour and a half to 2 hours to build him up. And it's just, I know it's very frustrating to my husband sometimes because he wants to help, but there's just that special bond there, you know? And I just, an hour is like the most that I commit to like being away, and then I come right back. So anticipate these episodes to be anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes, depending on the topic, and we'll continue that pattern over the next few weeks, and I'll update you guys when the longer episodes will come back. So let's talk about shoes. I came across this article and I thought it was really interesting. They list 25 different pairs of comfortable shoes that people are looking to purchase and walk around in for this spring. And I thought it'd be great to go through this list because these are items that we can find in the thrift store. And if it's a newer style, if we can't find it in the thrift store, then maybe there's an opportunity out for online sourcing or outlet sourcing or something. Or you just have an idea what people are buying. So the first shoe is not a surprise to me. This has actually been a very popular athletic shoe for a while, and it's the Adidas Cloud Foam Pure Running Shoe. It's a very comfy, I'd say cushioned type of a sneaker. It doesn't tie, which is a plus for a lot of people, especially as a pregnant person. Like, shoes that don't tie are wonderful. It's an easy slide in, slide out type of shoe. And I feel like when I have tried them on, my foot tends to be a little on the wider side. And I do feel like with the knit, it is, I would say it works well with a wider foot. But again, everyone's foot is different. So I have seen these in the thrift store. The thing is, though, with this shoe is that they don't retail for a ton. Like, you can find them on Amazon for $40. So if you are getting them pre-owned, don't anticipate a ton of money. But if you're finding them at the bins, then by all means, pick them up. Again, that's the Adidas Cloud Foam Pure Running Shoe Sneaker. Definitely look up what these look like so that you have a mental image. The thing that I've been doing is like taking screenshots of certain styles or brands and then like making a little mood board type thing on Canva for myself. They have like a brainstorming board that you can use, and I've just been pinning things on there. I think Apple has the ability to do that as well. They on their computer and on their phone. I can't remember the app name, but there is an app that you can use for creating some type of brainstorming board. So you can have it with you at all times, especially when you're in the thrift store. The next thing is not a brand, but strappy pumps. And these are very like 90s, 2000s. When I see them, it's something that I remember my mom wearing to weddings, and I probably had a pair as well. And they're just a comfortable shoe. They're a comfortable heel, and there's something you can wear to work or something that you can wear to a party. And these are going to be more popular than your traditional heel stiletto style that we're used to. Again, this is all about the comfort factor. This is the style of shoe is something that you maybe would see Aerosol make. What's that other brand that's like Aerosol? I can't think of the name of it, but it's definitely a comfort style. Oh, Easy Spirit. Also, when they make, every outside of sneakers, they do make regular shoes. It's got that kind of vibe, I guess, to it, where it's that rubber sole, small heel. It's a little chunkier. It's got the strap, so you have more support. It's got an arch support to it. So we're definitely going comfort. Here's the thing, again, you're going to find a lot of these shoes for like $30 to $40, so be mindful about that when trying to resell. The next thing is also very versatile and something that has been big for a while, and I personally love them, and that is clogs, but not just Dance Go clogs. There's a lot of brands out there. If you go on the Anthropologie website, Free People website, you're going to see different variations of clogs and different brands, and they're going to retail for anywhere from $100 to $300. They're in a Mary Jane style. They're in the traditional backless clog style. There's all different styles of clogs, and some are made from wood, some are not. But I think that the style itself has evolved over the years and they've become more mainstream. They're not just a nurse shoe. And people wear them with everything, with jeans, with dresses, to work, with the, you know, with their work attire. So I always at least look at the different clogs that are at the thrift store. And you'd be surprised. Like, I've found very expensive clogs. Some I've kept for myself for work, and some I have sold. Some are from Sweden, some are from Denmark. And they have a high resale value. So I think it's always worth it to look through the clogs, look up brands you don't know, and grab them year round. Don't just grab them for the fall, because people wear them year round now. They're not just a fall shoe, or not just a work shoe. They are a shoe you can wear even when you're traveling, when you're a tourist somewhere. So I'd say generally clogs run from $100 to $300, just depending on the brand and where it's made. Definitely do some deep diving, going on those websites like I mentioned, Anthropologie, Free People, or just typing in clogs, you know, wooden clogs, leather clogs, and just seeing what comes up on Google, look on Farfetch, look on all those websites and get an idea of these different brands that exist so that you can add them to your repertoire when it comes to reselling. Next up is a style of sneaker, and I have sold this sneaker before, so I can attest that it does sell well, and it is the Sorel Kinetic Impact Lace-Up Sneaker. It's got a really funky platform style sole to it. It's like zigzag. It almost looks like a wave, and it's knit on top. And you can sometimes find these retail arbitrage, so just keep an eye out. And they retail for like $80 to $100, and I have sold them for brand new, basically for retail price, and I have sold them used for that $50 to $65 mark. They're a very comfortable, I'd say more tennis-style shoe, and they're just fun-looking. Like, they're unique, and people really like that chunky-soled, unique shoe. So not a surprise that it is on this list. For comfort, but also more of a street style type of a vibe. Let's scroll here. Going into the sandal realm, I don't think this is a shock to anyone who's been reselling for a while, but Teva sandals, they're always a big deal. Now, are you going to get a ton of money for Teva sandals? No. But they're out there and people are always looking for them. So if you find them at the bins, I think it is worth you picking up 100%. I don't know if I'd pick them up in the thrift store unless they were priced under $8 probably and not totally worn. Tevas are usually super worn in the thrift store, so just keep that in mind. Honorable mention here for Columbia. I am not someone that picks up Columbia, but if you are and you like to sell those outdoorsy type brands, Columbia hiking boots, specifically waterproof ones, are hot. People want them, especially heading into nicer weather. People are hiking or they're, you know, rock climbing, whatever it is, and they want a good pair of boots to wear. These are great, and they retail for, I'd say, $60 to $70. So again, think about your profit margins, where you're buying them from, all of that. There are other boots, hiking boots out there that are more expensive. So you can dive into the various hiking boots that exist. They do sell. People want them. People are always hiking, but especially this time of year when they're traveling to different mountain areas, people are always looking for hiking boots. Or if you want, you can go into an L.L. Bean or you can go into an REI and see what type of hiking boots they have in store and then do your research that way as well. That's my favorite kind of research. But that is also an option. I don't understand this next one, but I get why it's on this list, and it's wedge sandals. To me, it's very early 2000s, especially a cork wedge, but because of the comfort factor, it doesn't surprise me to see it on this list. Would I pick it up to resell? Probably not. I think it's a very dated style, but I think for personal use, if you're looking for a pair for yourself, then yeah, by all means. But for reselling, I don't see it being something that we should be picking up. The next thing is scroll. Vegan or sustainably made, I guess you could say, shoes, whether it is boots or sneakers. There's a big movement behind using or purchasing vegan leather products or just vegan made products. So I think if you can familiarize yourself with some of those brands that are out there that focus on sustainably made vegan items, it may open up a new door for you and a new audience to sell things at, to sell things to. So I just think it's a great thing to look at. And some of these brands retail for like $200+. So it's definitely a market that a lot of us don't get into. A lot of us focus on leathers and suedes and all that. So I think it's smart to think ahead and see what the younger generations are looking at. And one of it is the vegan sustainably made products. This, again, not a surprise to me, but slip-on mules, they've been a thing for a while. They're great for business attire. They're great for just going out with some friends and you're wearing a nice pair of jeans and they're just an easy shoe. Meghan Markle's always wearing them. You know, a lot of celebrities wear these slide-on, slip-on mules all the time, whether they're leather, suede, it doesn't matter what material they are. People are always wearing them. I do think that when you're looking at these, you want to look at the wear. You want to make sure that it's not too creased because mules generally become very creased because they're backless. You want to look at if it's a pointed toe mule, you want to make sure you're looking at the point, make sure there's not a ton of damage on the side or in the front because that can happen a lot of times because mules are generally flat shoes. So they're rubbing against the pavement. So there's a lot of little things you have to look at. But if you're going to buy a mule, you want to make sure that it's a quality leather and it's a quality brand because so many brands make mules. It's you need to be very specific as to what you're purchasing to sell. Let me keep scrolling here. Some of these things that are on this list are more everyday wear, not so much reselling related, like Skechers boat shoes or Skechers slip-on sneakers. Is there a market to sell Skechers? Yeah, like if you're picking them up for a dollar or less, yes, there's absolutely a market to sell it. But if you're picking up Skechers at the thrift store, you're generally paying way more than that dollar mark. So it makes it harder to make a profit, right, off of that. But if that's your model, I get it. Everyone's model is different. For me, it would not be worth it. There's definitely a heavy focus on slip-on shoes, whether it's slip-on sneakers, slip-on heels, slip-on flats, whatever it is. There's a huge emphasis on this when it comes to shoes for the spring season. And I'm going to say this probably transfers to summer, even though we're not quite there yet. I'm going to say this is going to transfer over regardless into the next season. But again, not a surprise. People want the comfort, but they also want the durability and they want something that's easy, but yet fashionable. Of course, Rothy's is a great example for this. However, Rothy's is just, they're just not selling the same way as they used to. I have seen this newer brand of slip-on sneakers. They look like Rothy's. I don't know if they're sustainably made like Rothy's. I haven't like dived deep into it. I honestly don't even know how to pronounce it. I believe it's Olukai. It's Olukai. I have no idea how to say this, but they retail for the, I'd say close to $100. They have five or six styles when I looked it up, and they look like Rothy's to me, like the Rothy slip-on sneakers that I like to wear. So look them up, get an idea for them. I don't know if you'll ever find them in the thrift store right now, as I'd never heard of it until I looked at it on this list. Another brand that I was surprised to see on here, but also not surprised with like the 90s and early 2000 trends happening, and that's Keds. Keds sneakers. They do a lot of collaborations as well. They're not expensive. So again, bins item or under a dollar, right? But people are always looking for Keds. I used to wear Keds all the time as a kid. So I loved them, and I think it's one of those brands that just is a tried and true that people stick with, kind of like a Skechers or a Brooks or something. Once people find a style they like, they just continuously buy it. This is a style and it is embroidered floral high tops, which I thought was interesting. And there's no brand associated with this, but basically think of like a Converse high top canvas sneaker, and it has floral embroidery on it. Pretty. Not my style, but definitely something to keep in mind when you are looking at shoes. I think even if it didn't have the floral pattern and you're just looking at the high top canvas sneaker, I think that alone would be worth picking up. If it has a floral embroidery, great. A+, you've hit the mark of what people are looking for, but I think people are looking for the high top canvas sneaker regardless. If you can find Converse at a good price, then great, but I generally cannot. The chunky platform sneaker, we touched on this with the Sorel one. They're still something that people are looking for, but people are looking for them in fun colors because it's spring, summer. So they're looking for pastel rainbow colors, neon colors, fuchsia, greens, like iridescent colors. So look more for the bright items, but the chunky sneaker, regardless, is something that you should still be grabbing to pick up. Another honorable mention is Steve Madden. There's a lot of articles out there of Steve Madden shoes that are dupes, which we all know as a reseller, Steve Madden dupes are big, and they bloggers talk about them, and they're everywhere in the thrift store, and they just mimic a lot of the designer shoes. So that's what buyers are looking for. They may not want to spend the money on the designer shoe. So Steve Madden generally is always a good pickup if you can get it for the right price point. That's just the problem. Thrift stores, like corporate thrift stores, know what they are. So they generally price it pretty high. But if you can find it at a great price point, I'd say $5 and under in their current style, and it's a style that people are looking for, or a trendy style that people are looking for, then I would pick it up. I've sold Steve Madden before. It's kind of like Franco Sarto. If you have the right buyer looking for it, they're going to get it. They don't, you know, Steve Madden retails for quite a bit, whether you're buying it Nordstrom Rack or from the retail website itself. They're not cheap shoes, you know, so the thrift store sometimes has them at $15 to $20. Then I'd say it's not worth it at that point. But if it's that $10 and below, and you can, and you know, because the style is really trendy, that you can double your money or more on it, then have at it. There's nothing wrong with selling a Steve Madden, Aerosol, Franco Sarto, Mark Fisher. There's nothing wrong with selling those. It's just understanding your margins, right? When it comes to that. Let's see. Okay. Block heel mules. We kind of touched on this. Block heels in general, they're big. They've been big for the last year. And mules. There's one shoe that's not on here that we talked about in the spring trends, but I just want to mention it one more time. And that is Mary Janes and ballet flats. They kind of go hand in hand. Pick them up. I don't care really what color it is. Pick it up, because all the celebrities are wearing it. All of the bloggers are wearing them. They're pairing them with dresses. They're pairing them with jeans. It's being paired with everything. So Mary Janes and ballet flats, specifically if you find them in that light blue color, but they are big. They are definitely big. This next style, I think, was started by Taylor Swift, and it is the platform Oxford. So whether it is in a loafer style or if it is in a lace-up Oxford preppy shoe, she's been seen wearing it with like mini skirts. So a lot of obviously young girls are going to be looking for a very similar shoe. I personally like them. I would wear them. And there's a lot of different brands that you can find that style of Oxford platform shoe. But this is definitely a Taylor Swift influence on that shoe. Let's see. Next up, lightweight breathable sneakers. I think we've kind of touched on this along the way. Just the slip-on knit sneakers. I like them, so I'm not surprised that other people want them. Anything that is colorful and handmade. I thought this was interesting, and this is very outside the realm of what we usually think of. But if you're a vintage seller or you just sell unique things, I think this is where you can thrive a little bit. People are looking for fun I almost want to say like artsy style shoes. They could be in a mule. It could be in a clog. It really doesn't matter what the style is, but just anything that looks handmade, something that looks unique. People are looking for that specifically in the comfort realm. Okay. So keep that in mind. It's not so much something fun and unique in a heel. It's something fun and unique and something that I can wear when I am strolling the streets with my family for the day downtown or something. And last but not least, I know I mentioned the platform wedge, but low wedges are also in, and they look more like a flat. So it's like a pointed toe, flat mule, with a slight little mini wedge. These were big in the early 2000s as well. I had a pair of these. So that style's coming back, but a lot of these styles for the shoes, for the heels have straps with them. So a strap around the ankle or a strappy design from the front of the shoe to the ankle. So think low wedge or high wedge, think straps, think block heel, knitwear for your shoes, slip-ons, Oxfords or loafer style, pointed toe, ballet flats, Mary Janes, clogs. And I think that's all the things I've mentioned. anyway, I thought this would be fun to just kind of catch up and go through a list of things that are big right now, that people are looking for, that are practical, and that you can source anywhere. You can source it, like I said, in the outlets, retail, bins, regular thrift store, church thrift, doesn't matter, your own closet. That's usually where I source shoes first. Maybe your mom's closet or another family member's closet. So there's a lot of variety, but definitely a heavy focus on that more comfort wear shoe for spring. This is it. This is the end of the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what types of shoes are selling for you guys. Are you noticing a trend with the shoes that I've mentioned? Are they selling for you? Have you picked them up and noticed that they don't move? I'd be curious to hear from you guys. So yeah, I will not talk to you guys next week. Patreon group, you will hear from me next week. So everyone else, you'll hear from me in the following week. And we will go from there. Thank you so much, everyone, for your patience and for being on this journey with me this whole time. I'm sure I will have more updates for you guys as we move on into this new season of my life. So thank you, everyone. I hope you have a great week, and we will chat soon. Bye.